Archbishop, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Of course. Since a new legislative session is upon us here in Nebraska, it'd be important to let people know more about the Nebraska Catholic Conference, what that body is, what they do, what they're charged with, and how important that is for our exercise of our witness in the public sphere. So what's the Nebraska Catholic Conference?
The Nebraska Catholic Conference is a structure that's been set up by the three Catholic bishops in the state of Nebraska to give us the opportunity to participate in what we sometimes call the public square. So each of us has pastoral responsibilities for Catholic life and Catholic apostolates within our dioceses. But because Jesus has sent us into the world to bring the light of the gospel, to let it shine everywhere, we feel a responsibility to not only participate internally in the affairs of the church, but also to share what we believe to be true, gospel truth, to share that as a gift with our neighbors here in this state. So one of the ways that we do that very effectively, I think, is through the Nebraska Catholic Conference, which is headquartered in Lincoln, which is where our state capital is, of course. As you mentioned, there's a new legislative session has just begun in Lincoln, which will go through the months now of the winter and spring. We see in the secular news information, sometimes partial information about or slanted information about some of the things that are being proposed legislatively or proposed administratively by the governor and his staff. We can't imagine that we have an influence on every aspect of life that the legislature might address. But there are some important issues that are connected with the significant priorities that the Catholic Conference has adopted, where we think we can not only help ourselves, but help our neighbors, serve the common good, and really deepen the respect for life and for our common life here in this state that is consistent with God's plan for the human family.
It's a lofty goal in a way, but it's also very practical. There are legislative debates and policy details to be worked out at a variety of levels. But the Nebraska Catholic Conference's priorities, as you mentioned, typically fall into one of four categories or one or more of the four areas of advocacy that they're charged with. So if you want to speak into those, that would be
sure. And I would just add, you know, won't surprise anybody to know that there are many people who earn their living by lobbying the legislature in Lincoln. Various interest groups are groups that would like to push one agenda or other or see maybe advocate for a particular group or cause. So we're alongside of them in terms, really, I'm not ashamed to say, trying to exert an influence on both on the debate about legislation and public policy, and then to really where we can try to help our legislators craft policies and laws that will really be helpful to people and that will really serve the common good. As you mentioned, we advocate in four general areas, and those are human life and dignity that would touch right to life issues, things to do with bioethics, education. We have a lot of Catholic schools in the state of Nebraska, and we all recognize how they contribute not only to the welfare of the families they serve, but really to the common good of our state. So we want to make sure that the rights of those institutions are protected and enhanced by any legislation or regulations that might come along. We advocate in the area of marriage and family life, so to protect the sanctity of marriage and try to use the resources of our community to support marriage and family. We look at issues touching on human sexuality, on adoption, foster care, the welfare of children in various ways. And then the fourth would be social and human development. So the legislature gets involved in issues to do with housing, with public assistance, with human trafficking, immigration in certain ways. You know, most of that is dealt with on the federal level. But it's been part of the life and the interest of the church from the very beginning, the social welfare of not only of church members, but also of our neighbors. As I said, there's a lot that goes on in the legislature. We can't be involved in all of it or advocate for all of it. But there's some things in these four areas, particularly that flow right from the gospel, where we have good experience, I think, in trying to shed light on not only the importance of the issues, but a way forward in terms of human life and dignity are the ways that God has marked out for the human family. So we bring some resources to bear, both to, we hope, enrich the discussion and then try to influence it for good, which we not only have a right to do, but really an obligation to do.
Yeah, speaking of that obligation, and as you mentioned, there are a slew of bills up for consideration right now during
hundreds.
The session. Hundreds.
There are hundreds of them. Yeah.
Hundreds of them. You can check them all out if you want online. It's all available. But today we're just going to highlight a couple that demonstrate this commitment to these areas of advocacy. Right. And obviously we'll leave resources for more. But
yeah, we can look at a couple of them. I should just mention we have a professional staff that works for the three bishops at the office of the Catholic Conference in Lincoln. I'm really proud of them and grateful. They're relatively young adults, but well-educated and very committed to the life of the church and to serve in this way. They represent all of us, really, in the Catholic community across the state. They represent us very well. They take it upon themselves to really be up to date on many, many of the bills before the legislature. Again, they work with the staffs of the legislators to help them see more clearly the issues that they're dealing with and try to help them perhaps craft language or amendments, you know, to improve things. So they're at work in a number of different areas ongoing. With the encouragement of the bishops, tend to focus on several important issues that are more at the heart of our life and our expertise, if you want to say that, as ministers of the gospel. So I think we'll have a chance to maybe talk about a couple of those today, but right. they stand as examples of the sort of thing, the sort of work that goes on in Lincoln by the Catholic Conference, which I hope we'll have a chance to talk about this too, which really can involve every Catholic citizen in the state as a participant in this good work.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to make a strong plug for that at the end as well. So yeah, excellent. And I think that's our first official podcast shout out in our 27 episodes. I think that qualifies a shout out to the Nebraska Catholic Conference, to Tom and Marion and Lauren who work there and the people who help them doing excellent work. So two of those areas that you mentioned, or two of the bills rather, that are being considered at present. We'll start with LB 209 is the abortion pill reversal legislation. This is being discussed in terms of giving mothers a second chance at choice, those who might have made the regrettable decision to seek an abortion via abortion pill, sometimes called a, quote, medication abortion. And there are all these facts and figures also, these will be added to the podcast upload. We'll have resources online that you can see the same stats that we're looking at. I was surprised to learn that 55% of all abortions in Nebraska are these chemical or pill-based abortions.
Sure. So that statistic has gotten our attention. We've had very successful and fruitful pro-life efforts in the state of Nebraska for many mm-hmm. years, trying to encourage women, men too, who might be contemplating abortion or encouraging somebody to seek an abortion, to see the alternatives for life, mm-hmm. for their child, and really a richer life for them, we know, going forward. So those have traditionally been focused on the woman who might be on her way, either psychologically or physically, to an abortion clinic where there would be a so-called surgical abortion. Again, I'm so grateful to so many pro-life Catholics over the years who have been able to have a real influence to help women rethink that and to exercise choice, but choice in a way that will be life-giving mm-hmm. for their child and for themselves. We realize now, though, that many abortions are happening in a much more private setting, we would say, where a woman is able to obtain a prescription from a doctor, an abortion provider, really, but it's being provided in a different way. She would ingest one of the pills and then wait a certain amount of time and then take the second one to complete the process of the chemical abortion. We heard last fall at the pro-life conference here in Nebraska, and there's been more good news about it, that a very effective process has been developed to halt the progress of that chemical abortion. If a woman seeks help from a doctor to reverse the process after taking the first pill before taking the second one, there is a very good likelihood that the abortion won't happen. So the child's life will be saved and the pregnancy can continue and the woman can be helped and supported in ways that will really be good for her and, of course, good for the child. The bill that's before the legislature, LB 209, mm-hmm. as you said, it's we're talking about giving a second chance at choice. So a woman who begins to reconsider the decision that she first made before taking the second part of this chemical abortion regimen can have it reversed. What the bill would do would require that when a woman would be given the prescription, the chemicals to cause the abortion, she would also be given the information that if she decides in mid-course to change her mind and to choose life, that there's a way to go forward with that. So it doesn't require that she do it, and it doesn't require that the person who's providing the chemical abortion pills, that they reverse it, but she would be led to the information. The information would be available to her mm-hmm. to be able to find that for herself and then save the life of her child and really save herself from such a horrible choice. It's kind of a premier pro-life proposal for us in Nebraska this year, and I would encourage those who are listening or reading to find out more about it and to contact your legislator to offer support. We know that right now, so-called abortion rights forces are at work in many states across the country. We've seen what's happened, sadly, in New York and the awful debate that was had in the state of Virginia. And I've heard from people here saying, well, what are we going to do about that? Well, one of the things that we can do is to try to have an influence here in Nebraska to make sure that we do remain a pro-life state in any way that that we can. This legislation, LB 209, is a step in a good direction. It's good in itself, but I think becoming even more necessary and more important because there is an increasing percentage of those who are thinking about abortion, who are really contemplating and who have access to this chemical abortion process.
Amen. This is a way to act locally. We're still concerned about the things that happen in our sphere of concern, but our sphere of influence may be a bit smaller than that. Mm-hmm. But still, there's action possible and needed here. Mm-hmm. That directive is very helpful right now because we can feel like we're not able to advance the good, and it's not true.
Right, and the bill, it's as simple as providing information
to
people. So it's a very simple obligation and responsibility that's put on those who are providing this awful possibility for a chemical abortion. Doesn't in any way reflect or restrict someone's choice for abortion, sadly, but we think always that when someone has a chance to consider it more deeply and then as they consider it, decide to go in another direction, that another direction is really open to them.
Exactly. And that's not based on, again, conjecture. As you mentioned, there are stories, there's documentation of this. Women have told their story about, I immediately regretted it, or the next day or a few days later. Mm-hmm. And thanks be to God, was able to find a doctor that could give her the progesterone dosage that would help her to reverse that process. You know, so that this is a very real possibility. Mm-hmm. And there are real women out there who would want that. That possibility, right. So
especially if they know about it,
right?
And so we there's a very informative website that the Nebraska Catholic Conference maintains, and I would encourage everyone to go there and find out more about this bill, and then contact your legislator and ask that it be supported.
One of the other bills we'll highlight falls under the area of advocacy around education. You can articulate this better than I, Archbishop, but one of the obligations that this one touches on is the parental obligation to educate one's children and to have the freedom to do that, the state respecting the freedom of parents to choose the best education for their kids. Now, obviously, that has ramifications in our Catholic school system, but the scope of this is larger than that. So this is an interesting one to discuss. We don't have to go off on this tangent entirely, but just the fact that when we talk about promoting the common good, there are so many areas of overlap with other groups. It's not just about promoting our Catholic thing in the public sphere, although obviously some of that happens, but preserving this good for others. So somebody may choose, and we'll get into the legislation a little bit, but somebody may choose a non-Catholic Christian school of another kind or a private school that's not religiously affiliated. But still, we would say, yeah, you have the right as parents to make that choice, and it'd be great if we could help facilitate that somehow. So anyway, the bill that we're talking about right now is LB 670. This is, I think, a reintroduction of what was last year called LB 295, Opportunity Scholarship Legislation. Tell us a little bit more about what this is for, why we're supporting it.
Similar legislation has been introduced in Nebraska before, and we see, happily, we see momentum for this building. The bill would provide for the establishment of scholarship-granting organizations in the state who would receive contributions and then from donors, and then the scholarship-granting organization could give scholarships to families to be used in non-public schools in Nebraska. The donors would get a tax credit for their donation. They wouldn't be donating to a particular school, and they wouldn't be donating to a particular child. They would be donating to a scholarship fund, which would administer that for the sake of parents using non-public schools. So as you were saying before, this legislation, if passed, could accomplish a couple of things. One is it really does recognize the right and the responsibility of parents to make choices for the education of their children. So it strengthens marriages and families. Whenever we give encouragement for parents to do what God gives them to do, it's good for their family, but it also strengthens their ability to exercise their parental rights in other ways, in their home and in the community. So that's a good thing there. But it also then recognizes that for parents who choose a non-public school for their child, there's a significant financial impact for that choice, most of which they bear themselves. But not every family in Nebraska has the means to choose what might be really the best school for their children. This bill would provide a certain number of an encouragement for private citizens to offer the funds that would provide scholarships for families to make a non-public school choice possible for them. So it really does again respect parents and families. It's not school choice so much as parental choice, giving parents parents the opportunity to choose. One of the hardest things for us as we operate very excellent Catholic schools, and I think other non-public school groups would find the same thing. We know that our programs are really great, and we see the good results. And mm-hmm. when a family comes to us and wants to partner with us, we want to work with them too. But it's very sad, though, and hard for all of us if they don't have the means and we don't have the scholarship funds available to make that partnership happen for the sake of their family and for their children.
Yeah.
We see the impact of programs like this in other states. So this is not totally uncharted territory.
Right.
And this is not public money that's being used for non-public schools, but it's private money that's encouraged, we might say. The donors are encouraged because they do receive a tax credit on for their state taxes. Here again, there's great information on the website of the Nebraska Catholic Conference, and you can see a map that shows other states in the United States where there are programs like this or sometimes even more significant, you know, in terms of supporting and assisting parents. The impact has been really great in those states and in those communities. So here again, it's one of our, in terms of our areas of advocacy, this touches both on education and marriage and family life. But that's why the bishops are interested in this. That's why we've asked the staff of the Nebraska Catholic Conference to work with those who are sponsoring the legislation and to work in communities around the state to help people see the benefit of it and then to try to encourage our legislators to support it and to pass it.
Absolutely, yeah. So that invitation goes to every Catholic, every citizen of goodwill who sees the wisdom and legislation like this, support it, give voice to it, share the information, and advocate for that, which we believe is going to be a contribution to the common good.
There's a fear often that it's going to somehow harm public schools or diminish them. There's a fear among the unions that are involved in public education and so forth that this is somehow going to take away from them. That simply has not been the experience in other places. We know that more excellent schools and more children receiving the education that really is best for them in the state of Nebraska will be better for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to compete or take anything away from anyone, right. but really we challenge each other, I think, in terms of excellence and try to do the best for our kids and for our community. We mm-hmm. see how it works in other places, and I think that we would all really be pleased with the benefit that would come to us here in Nebraska.
Absolutely. Just one piece of data that is striking that, again, gives some of this picture is that in 2016 alone, the Children's Scholarship Fund of Omaha had to turn away more than 600 applicants due to a lack of funds. We're not inventing a market or inventing a desire, but there are already families saying...
Yes, we already know many parents who would love to make this choice. We'd love to work with them mm-hmm. If we could be given the means through this scholarship program to make that happen.
And as we mentioned, advocating for LB 670, LB 209, there are others. Again, we strongly encourage everyone listening or reading who finds this content, every Catholic in the Archdiocese, to be informed, first of all, about what those public debates are and what are the policies that the three bishops are together promoting and saying we lend our support to. So the website to find out more about the Nebraska Catholic Conference and the legislation we mentioned is necatholic.org. That's N-E as in Nebraska, necatholic.org. There you can find out what's on, what's up for debate. Also sign up for email updates. There's an advocacy network and they'll send out an action alert when a piece of legislation is being advanced or opposed or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's a good way to stay in the loop and to be an informed Catholic citizen.
As I mentioned earlier, Bishop Hannafeld and Bishop Connolly and I have great confidence in the staff of our Nebraska Catholic Conference. Part of the charge that we've given them is to involve more people in our state in this advocacy. So they do it in a professional way, and they're on the job daily in Lincoln. It's important, though, that our legislators hear from citizens, mm-hmm. and they really are influenced by the voters in their districts. You can find, as you were saying, information on the Nebraska Catholic Conference website about how to become part of an advocacy network, how to receive information. So I really would encourage all of our Catholic people to take a look there and to take seriously the responsibility that we all have in the church to be faithful citizens. That means we're faithful to our Catholic understanding, teaching, faithful to the gospel and to our Lord Jesus Christ to start with. But we know that the Lord has told us he wants us to be light for the world. He wants us to be like a leaven in society. So in other words, he's asking us to have an effect. We can't have an effect simply by complaining or worrying, but we can have an effect, and it works very clearly in this state by contacting our legislators, being in touch with them, being informed ourselves, and then sharing our thoughts, our preferences, desires with them. They will listen. You know, we don't always get what we want, of course, but they're listening to somebody. And it would be great if people who have been formed by the gospel, who have a great desire to serve the common good of our state, according to what we understand to be true and good, it'd be great if our legislators could hear from many, many more of our people. It would only be good for them in terms of shedding light on their own thought and consideration and their decision-making process.
Amen to that. And obviously, you know, this goes probably without saying, but that same advocacy can happen, you know, on a lower level, but around the dinner table in your neighborhood and your parish. Have conversations with fellow Catholics, with others, with your neighbors, wherever you're having those conversations. I know this is often, especially in this day and age, maybe this is sounds foolish, but because of how much division there is and how polarized we can be. But if, as you said, we're actually formed in the gospel, we have something to offer that isn't simply polarization, but is the gospel applied with prudence here and now? So I think the charge is very clear.
We're not trying to support a narrow interest. We're really trying to enrich the common good. That's another reason to go to the website of the Nebraska Catholic Conference. There's great information there, and if you're really interested in one or other of these areas, you can really become informed and have good information to share with others, so that when you're talking around the dinner table or at work or with neighbors about some of these issues where there is certainly disagreement among our people, that you can bring light rather than heat to the discussion. Yeah. And we never know, you know, when we offer something, again, offer the light of the gospel, the consideration of the teaching of our church, offer that to someone else as a gift, how it might influence or touch them. You know, it might not seem like we're winning an argument at the moment, but we've all been influenced by others. We continue to be. We hope that we allow ourselves to be influenced by what's good and true, but then the Lord invites us to have an influence on others as well.
Well, thank you, Archbishop, for giving us this introduction, this rundown about the Nebraska Catholic Conference, and we'll definitely encourage, we'll put those links up, and encourage people to get involved.
Great, thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice, a podcast of the Archdiocese of Omaha. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.